Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. Today, we're digging into Procter & Gamble's fiscal fourth quarter and full year 2026 results. And there's a lot to unpack, from a CEO transition on the board to a fresh look at fiscal 2027 guidance. But before we get into it, quick disclaimer. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
All right, so let's start with the news that isn't really about the numbers. John Moeller is retiring from the board after 38 years at P&G. He's held basically every top job there: CFO, COO, CEO, executive chairman. That's a long goodbye for someone who shaped the company's current structure.
Right. And CEO Shailesh Jejurikar spent real time on the call thanking him before handing it to CFO Andre Schulten for the actual numbers. So let's get into those. For the full fiscal year, organic sales grew just over 1%. Core EPS came in at $6.89, up about 1%. Not a blowout year, but they hit their guidance ranges despite what they called a very volatile environment.
And that volatility really showed up in the fourth quarter specifically. Core EPS was $1.43, down 3% year over year. On a currency neutral basis, down 5%. They pointed to a spike in energy, transportation, and material costs, about 6 cents a share, that was mostly offset by tariff refunds.
There is also this interesting wrinkle in the U.S. business, a gap between what's called sellout versus sell-in. Basically, consumer purchases at retail, sell-out, were up 2%, but P&G shipments to retailers, sell-in, were down 1%. That's a three-point gap.
Yeah, and management explained that pretty clearly. Amazon Prime Day shifted into late June this year instead of early July, which changed how promotional spending got recognized, plus retailers were drawing down inventory. It's a timing issue more than a demand issue, and honestly, analysts pushed hard on this exact point during Q&A.
They did.
One analyst basically asked, is this AP and G specific problem? And Schulten's answer was pretty blunt. He said it simply because P&G is bigger and has higher velocity than competitors. So when retailers want to cut inventory fast, they trim the biggest, fastest moving brand on the shelf. It's math, not strategy failure.
What stood out to me geographically was China. Organic sales there grew 4% for both the quarter and the year, and P&G said they're growing share in China for the first time in 15 quarters. Baby care was the star. They highlighted this premium diaper using silk materials that's delivered double-digit growth for 6 straight quarters and now has them back as the number one baby care brand in the country.
That silk diaper story is a nice example of their broader playbook. Figure out what consumers actually want, translate it into product innovation, and let that drive both category growth and share. They gave a bunch of these, Vicks Cough and Cold in Latin America, Pantene in Germany leaning into influencer marketing, SK-II shifting to lifestyle content on social commerce.
The Tide story was probably my favorite, though. They did the biggest upgrade to original Tide liquid in over 2 decades. Same price, much better performance, and it went from declining sales to high single-digit growth. Jejurikar said flat out it beat their own expectations.
And that's really the stronger core half of their strategy, fix what you already have. The other half is bigger more, which is Tide Evo, this new unit dose detergent with no plastic packaging, built on over 50 patents. National rollout is happening this fiscal year.
Now let's talk about what's ahead, because fiscal 2027 guidance had a pretty notable catch. Organic sales guidance is 1% to 3%. Core EPS guidance is $6.89 to $7.11, basically flat to up 3%. But there's a real cost headwind, about $1 billion after tax, largely tied to the conflict in the Middle East, pushing up oil, freight, and material costs. They're assuming Brent crude around $90 a barrel.
And here's the part investors should really flag. They explicitly said they expect first quarter EPS to be down 5% or more year over year. That's a pretty specific, near-term warning baked right into an otherwise cautiously optimistic outlook.
right? Most of that cost pressure hits the first half of the year because it reflects materials bought back when oil was above $100 a barrel. Management was clear the back half should look better as costs anniversary and their initiatives, the share recovery work in the U.S. and Europe, start compounding.
On capital return, they're still committed. Over $10 billion in dividends, about $5 billion in buybacks, so $15 billion total plan for shareholders in fiscal 2027, consistent with this past year.
The strategic theme running through the whole call was this idea of CPG company of the future. Four capability areas: AI-enabled brand building, streamlining internal workflows with data platforms, next-gen R&D, including molecular discovery, and what they call supply chain 3.0. It's all about speed, turning weeks-long processes into hours.
It's a lot of transformation talk, but they tied it to something concrete, the U.S. market specifically. They said the percentage of top customers holding or growing share went from under 10% in the first half of the fiscal year to around 50% in the second half. That's a real, measurable inflection they're leaning on for confidence heading into next year.
So what's the takeaway for anyone tracking this stock? It's a trust the trend, not the quarter story. Management is very explicit that progress won't be linear. They said that phrase more than once. The near-term EPS hit in first quarter fiscal 2027 is already flagged, so that shouldn't be a surprise if it lands. The bigger question is whether China's share recovery and the U.S. customer-level improvements keep building through the year.
And as always with these calls, there's a lot of "we're confident in the second half" language that requires some patience to actually verify.
Definitely worth keeping on the radar as we head toward their investor day, which they announced for November 19th in Cincinnati. That'll likely give a longer-term view of this whole strategy. Before we wrap up, everything discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
That's a wrap on P&G's fourth quarter and fiscal 2026. We'll be watching how that first quarter cost headwind plays out and whether the U.S. share momentum keeps building. Thanks for listening to Beta Finch. We'll catch you next time.